Throughout the Sundays of Lent, we are going to meet some of the people of Scripture who have encounters with Jesus that had the power to transform them. And this morning we have just met Nicodemus. As Tom told you, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, part of the high court of the Sanhedrin. He was well known, influential, a religious VIP, if you will. Thus, he was well educated in the law and was a teacher and an enforcer of it. And as we know, Pharisees were not exactly best friends with Jesus. In fact, they are his adversaries almost from the time he stepped out of the wilderness to begin his ministry. And yet, oddly enough, Nicodemus comes to see Jesus. And fairly early on, this is only chapter 3 of John. And he comes under the cloak of darkness. He comes because some of the Pharisees have been talking, and they recognize what he is saying and doing is of God. And before Nicodemus even gets to say why he is there, Jesus jumps in with his own agenda. He starts talking about a second birth, being born from above. And frankly, he has, as you saw, left poor Nicodemus rather stymied. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a similar experience, but I have. You go in to speak with someone about a particular thing, and before you can even get a word in, they've started down their own path with items on an agenda that have nothing to do with why you came to see them. We can easily imagine Nicodemus sitting there listening, not understanding, all the while, at least this is what I do, trying to hold in the memory what it is he came to say in the first place. Maybe he was coming to warn him about the other Pharisees. Maybe he'd been appointed to carry a certain message or to question him. We'll never know because Jesus never gave him a chance to talk. Not only does Jesus jump in with his own conversation starter, if you will, but it is one that makes absolutely no sense to Nicodemus. And the more questions he asks, the more impatient Jesus gets with him. At least it seems so, although Dave's Jesus is very, very patient, as is Dave. And until essentially, he tells Nicodemus, for all his education, he doesn't know a darn thing. And Jesus doubts his ability to get it at all. Then Jesus starts in on some stuff about the wind blowing where it will and God loving the world so much that he sent Jesus to save it, not condemn it, but to save it. By this point, Nicodemus has given up trying to talk at all. Because we haven't heard from him since verse 9. This is just one of the things that makes this passage a somewhat unsatisfying one, particularly as one where there's supposed to be transformation. So much for the theme of Lent on the very first jump out the door. If Nicodemus had anything planned for this conversation, we'll never know what it was. It's gone. John doesn't even tell us when Nicodemus left in the story. For all we know, he slunk out while Jesus was still talking about loving the world. Or what his final reaction was to those words. My friend Tom created an ending for us because otherwise we didn't know how to get him off stage. And it's a very viable one, frankly. Other than verses 16 and 17, which many of us were compelled to memorize at some point in Sunday school, the ones about how much God loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever so believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life, or the ones about the being born of the Spirit or born again, which have been taken out of context and misused to the extent that the other verses were memorized. About as many people have misused born again as have memorized 16 and 17. Other than these cherry-picked verses, there isn't much to glean about Nicodemus's faith at all. Rather, we have just plucked this juicy stuff and left behind the narrative about a bewildered Pharisee making a nighttime call to Jesus. But is that all there is? Just those little juicy bits we get? Could it be that rather than this being a full-on aha moment for Nicodemus, Jesus rather is planting seeds? Not all transformations happen in the blink of an eye. Some of it comes from nurturing seeds of faith planted over years, spending time integrating our experience with Scripture, with prayer, with the life of the community of faith, so that eventually, throughout our lives, new plants grow. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and Pharisees spend a good deal of time debating the law, teaching through question and answer and response and challenge. And Nicodemus tries that at the beginning, but Jesus essentially shuts him down and lets him know that for once, Nicodemus needs to sit down and listen, really listen, and not just mentally prepare a rebuttal. Even if he doesn't understand it all or understand it at all, he needs to hear it all. For these few moments, Jesus makes it clear that Nicodemus is the student, not the teacher, because frankly, he doesn't understand even the most basic things about God. That basic thing, that God cannot be directed or predicted. That your relationship with God, your salvation, isn't up to you, as Paul pointed out in Romans as well, but it's up to God. It cannot be something that we do. Whether being born from above or saving ourselves, and the Spirit of God is one that will move according to its own choosing and not according to our direction. You cannot birth yourself. Nicodemus was right about that one. Or rebirth yourself. God is the one who gives the new life. Now this is one of those texts where you wish you could hear the tone of voice for these two men. Although we did get an interpretation of that from Dave and Tom. But was Nicodemus really full of himself? Was he truly even more indignant than Tom that Jesus should try to teach him something? Was Jesus impatient? Or was he a little bit more like Dave, just pleading with him, desperate for Nicodemus to understand? We don't know, because all we really have are the words on the page and our own faith journey at the point at which we read it. So we might hear it differently at different times. For in this conversation, Jesus makes it clear that God's directing this play. The Spirit moves as it will, not as we will it, and the direction it blows may be difficult for us to go, either because we're frightened or because it isn't where we told God we wanted to go. Thank you very much. For this is a conversation that John, in writing the gospel, wanted us to overhear. And it reminds us that God is God and will move according to God's desires and purposes, and much of that we don't understand, we don't get. And the purposes, though, the directions are all driven by love. Being born from above, God-driven entirely. Our salvation comes as a gift from God, acting in love through Jesus Christ. So what about Nicodemus? Was there any change in him? Was there any transformation? Did those seeds ever sprout and grow and bloom? Well, frankly, we can't be sure. But we have two clues later in the gospel. In chapter 7, when the Sanhedrin are discussing what to do about Jesus, because the guard would not bring him to them because of all the things he was doing, and the guard was so taken with him, he wouldn't bring him. And the Pharisees are working themselves up into this lather about believing that Jesus is under God's curse when Nicodemus speaks up. And he simply reminds them that their law does not judge someone until they've had a chance to explain themselves. Using their own law, Nicodemus tries to reason with his colleagues. A bit of transformation? Perhaps. We don't know. But then he appears again in chapter 19 after Jesus has died. He comes by the light of day then, or at least a little bit more light because it was the end of the day. But he comes to help Joseph of Arimathea embalm and bury Jesus. Why? We don't know. Was that part of the transformation? Maybe. I think it's important. Here's my read, and I'm such a biblical scholar, you should pay attention. But I think John purposely included those moments with Nicodemus to show us that there was someone who was being transformed, who was part of the establishment, part of that monolithic Pharisees of the Sanhedrin, who yet, he was seeing something else. That's what I think. Take it or leave it. But these are our clues that perhaps something had been changing and that the confusing conversation from a night long ago was still going around in his brain all that time, slowly perhaps making sense, gradually taking root. And this is good news for us because it means we don't have to have this one singular event or immediate understanding, something for which I am very grateful. This is good news for those of us whose relationship with God and Jesus Christ has been a long journey, maybe a lifelong one, with slow growth, gradual understanding, still with lots of mystery and learning to live with that mystery, where each encounter with Christ, whether in Scripture or in life or in the community of faith or at prayer, has planted seeds in us, which at first confound us, perhaps make us throw up our hands like Nicodemus did, but over time just might bring understanding. Each seed holding the possibility of leading us into a deeper relationship with God. That, my friends, is the good news of the gospel. Amen.